James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible, Lord. And as we preach it, dear God, we've already been admonished just through the scriptures and the reading thereof to be very, very careful that we do not just be a hearer of the word, but Lord, that we would have a heart that is tender and longing, wanting to take the truths that are preached and apply them into our lives. Lord, give us the wisdom to do so. We thank you, Lord, for what we've experienced, Lord, for the blessings ahead, for the message of the hour, Lord. Please speak to each heart. If there's anyone here without Christ as their Savior, may they be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. I love the book of James. This is a tremendous book. Now, the Holy Spirit moved upon the Apostle James to write this epistle to the Jewish believers. That's what's mentioned in verse number 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. To the Jewish believers, now scattered abroad because of the persecution of the church. See, James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. So keep that in mind. He now has to write to many of his members who's been scattered because of the persecution against the church. He writes this epistle just 28 years after the death of our Savior. By the way, I think that's important. He's writing to born-again believers. He's writing as the Holy Spirit instructs him. He is writing, get this, I believe, to second and third generation Christians. Now, don't get me wrong. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, so there's no portion of the Bible that's not profitable to all. But he is writing this, I believe, to second and third generation Christians. Say, why do you think that? Well, think about it. Acts 2, the great evangelistic revivals that happened in Jerusalem, starting on Pentecost, 3,000 saved. Just a few months later, another 5,000 saved. If those who were saved on that day in the days to come are now aged Christians. Let me just give you an example. Suppose an adult man was saved the day Peter preached at Pentecost. Let's suppose that man was 30 years old when he was saved. He would probably have been married by then, probably had several preteen children. But now, 28 years later, he's 58. He's now a grandpa. His children are now in their 30s and with children and teenagers of their own. James watches two new generations of Christians who were not accosted by the Holy Spirit, accosted by Christ as adults, but instead raised in the faith as children. These are now the scattered tribes who sit in the churches, who are faithful to attend, who are well versed in the scripture, but who also are in great danger, in great danger. Let me just ask this question, and it's all right if you were not. But how many of you were raised in church? Basically, from a child up, you were raised in church. Raise your hand good and strong. And all right, good, very good. Honestly, the majority of the people here. How many of you were blessed, those of you raised your hand, you were blessed to be raised in Sunday school. You were faithfully brought up, for the most part, faithfully in the house of God. Now, let me say two things. Number one, you are blessed. Don't ever take that for granted. There are those around you just now who wish they could have raised their hand. They wish they could have had that opportunity. But I also want to say this to those of you that were raised in church. You are blessed, but you could also be in great danger. See, there's something about being reared in church that makes us susceptible to becoming almost too familiar with the Bible. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Come on. Can anybody be too familiar with the Bible? Well, let me explain. If you've been raised in church and Sunday school around here all the way through master's clubs, some people's testimony is I came to church 9 months before I was born. You know, we're literally carried in your mother's womb to church, grew up in the nursery all through the program. Let me just say this, you, and maybe alongside that, even blessed to attend a Christian school or homeschool. After all this exposure to Bible teaching, after all this exposure to scriptural principles, let me just say this. Because of all of that, you know a lot about the Bible. You do. You know a lot because you've heard it a lot. You go to the average Christian school kids, Christian parents, raised in a Christian home, Sunday school, ask them basic Bible questions, boom, 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 they know what to turn to, they know the answers, and they know the Bible. Well, let me just say this, folks. Just because you know a lot about the Bible does not mean that you're a very good Christian. Just because you have heard a lot and you have all the right answers, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are even a Christian. This portion of James' letter to the Christians scattered abroad warns them of the danger that comes along with hearing a lot of Bible preaching and teaching. The danger is this. If we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of just hearing the Bible, but failing to do what the Bible teaches. Second and third generation Christians face an increased danger of having a lot of Bible in their heads that never seem to reach their hands or their mouth or their feet. I want to preach this morning on the danger of becoming a hearer only. And this can happen to somebody who was raised in church, or this can happen to somebody that was saved later on in life. Any of us, if we do something on a regular basis, if we're not careful, we can just begin to take it for granted. So hear me this morning as I preach on the dangers of becoming hearers only. Now the Bible outlines these dangers very specifically, beginning in verse number 22. Number one, we face, as Christians who hear a lot of Bible preaching, we face the danger of self-deception. Of self-deception. Notice verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Isn't the next phrase interesting? Deceiving your own self. Let me say, first of all, I don't want to cause any confusion. I'm for faithful church attendance. I'm for you hearing all the Bible preaching and teaching you can possibly hear. But if you're not careful, you could be sitting here this morning thinking that you're a good Christian because you faithfully attend church and because you know a lot of Bible. Don't miss what I'm going to say next. God is not impressed with how much Bible you know. He's impressed by how much Bible you live. Let me say that again. God is not impressed with how much Bible you know, but by how much Bible you live. See, it's one thing to hear the Word. It's one thing to even know the Word. It's a whole separate thing to do the Word, to be a doer of the Word. Well, let me illustrate this. Let's suppose we have two boys, and they're both in their teens. Let's see here. Who we got here? Where's a teenage boy that for the most part was raised in church? I'm looking for somebody. Jesse, I know you hate to get up here, but would you come up here just a second? I won't embarrass you too drastically, okay? I'll put Jesse on this side. This young man, for the most part, was raised in church. His mom and dad was one of those parents, fanatical, independent, fundamental Baptist people that brought him to church and kept him in everything and all of this. And Jesse, because of that, knows a lot about the Bible. He just flat knows a lot about the Bible. Now, let's see. Let me find one of our bus teens. Who's been coming just for I come up here, you're a perfect illustration. I was looking for someone to illustrate what a backslider looks like, and this is the guy. This is the guy right here. And let me tell you something. When this guy backslides, there's a lot of sliding going on right there. So, can you imagine, by the way, can you imagine this guy getting off the bus at football camp this afternoon, man? And is John in here? John Ross in here? Is he out in Children's Church? Where's Shad at? Where's Shad? Did you hear Shad? Stand up, Shad. Look at this guy, man. I'm telling you what. I'd like to see the rest of those boys' faces when these guys get off here. Now let me just teach you something here. Look up here. I'm speaking to both groups here. I don't care if you just started coming last week and you're newly and freshly saved. You know what? Don't just come and listen to the Bible. The Bible's not just for you to hear. It's for you to do. And you've got a young man on this side that was raised in church. You got a young man on this side that, you know what, did not have Christian parents, was not brought regularly to church. He's just really started being faithful in the last year or so, year and a half or so. But let me say this. God doesn't look down and say, well, this guy knows more Bible than this guy, so this guy's a good Christian, this guy's not a good Christian. He says, how much do you know? Now, how much of what you know are you doing? Now, how much do you know? And how much of that you know that you're doing. I've watched kids that know a whole lot more Bible than some of our bus kids, but you know what? They don't do a whole lot of what they know. And I've seen some bus kids that come and they don't know a whole lot of the Bible yet, but everything that they've been taught, they're trying to do. What I'm trying to get you to say is listen, does he have an advantage? You better believe it. I mean, this is great what his parents has done with him, but it is incumbent on him to do something with what he has. And if you got a little starter late, a later start in life, that don't make you a second-rate Christian. Whatever you do know, put into practice. Because God doesn't expect from you to, and even expect you to know everything that he knows, but he still expects you to obey everything that you know. And you may know a little bit more, but God expects you to obey a little bit more. That's what the Bible's saying here. You guys can be seated. Thank you very much. You did a good job. Now, listen, what I'm saying is this. Preacher, sometimes have people, Christians, have this mentality. Preacher, listen, preacher, I'm a good Christian. I'm in my place every time the doors are open. I bring my Bible, I open it up, I listen to the message. I mean, I even shout amen every once in a while. Well, good, good for you. And by the way, I'm glad you're here. You need to be here and you should be here. And we all need good Bible preaching. But, you may be a good Christian or you may not be a good Christian. Because, see, God, again, is not as interested in how much Bible you hear as he is in how faithful you are to obey what you hear preached from the Bible, from the pulpit, when you walk out that door. You see, being in here right now doesn't make you a good Christian, but it gives you the potential to become a good Christian. Because if you don't come here, you're not going to know what to do. But what you hear, you still have to make a choice with what you hear. And this is what James is worried about. He's, I think, pointing this towards second and third generation Christians that maybe have had a saturation of Bible preaching and teaching, and praise God for it. But pretty soon, if we're not careful, we're just in here putting our time in. We're here sitting. We hear what's said, but it does not change us. Hey, do you ever wonder why some folks can be in church every time the doors open, and yet you never see them grow as a Christian? It just seems like they're the same place they were a year ago, same place they were 2 years ago. I can tell you what's happened in their life. They have become a hearer of the word, but they are failing in the matter of being a doer of the word. So that's the first danger. The first danger we see is the danger of self-deception. Now, notice this. Oh, there's another danger that comes with hearing and not doing what you hear. The danger of human forgetfulness. Look at James chapter 1, verse 23. Now, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Notice this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, He being not a, I like this little phrase here, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man is blessed in his deed. Now, the Bible says there's a danger, if we're not careful, of hearing the Bible but not doing it. We can deceive ourselves into defining that as being a good Christian. Hey, I go to church all the time, so I'm a good Christian. I listen to the scriptures. I'm a good Christian. I take notes during the sermon. I'm a good Christian. Good, good. By the way, good for you. I'm glad you do all those things. But you're not judged in God's eyes by just what you hear. You're judged by what you put into practice when you walk out into that old sinful world. See, folks, listen to me. Let's be honest with each other. It's not that hard to be a Christian in church. I mean, man alive, you're on home base. You're with the brothers and sisters. You're going to get encouragement. You know, when it gets hard when you punch in, gentlemen, tomorrow morning at the workplace. And guess what? There's not maybe a whole lot of Christians where you work. And maybe there's some real vile people who just take pleasure in badgering Christians and to stand up for Jesus then. That's the test. Now, the danger of self-deception, the danger of human forgetfulness. Let me explain what verse 23 and 24 is telling us. It likens the Word of God to a mirror or a looking glass, something that you will look into. Now, most of you today, and I think most of these boys, it looks like they took a look in the mirror before they came. There's a few. I'm not sure if they really took the time. But for the most part, and you know all the girls did, oh my goodness sakes, hours and hours, sometimes days in front of that mirror to get ready to come to church. But, you know, a mirror is something that when you look into it, you see yourself for what you are. And you know what? If you go to the mirror and you think, I better check my appearance, you know, I mean, I did right before I came into the service. After Sunday school, I went upstairs. One of the things I do for our ladies' office is take a quick look in the mirror, you know, make sure there's not a burger hanging out my nose or something like that, you know, or something gross going on like that. But suppose I looked in the mirror and I saw that I had a smudge of dirt right here. Somewhere along the line, I got a little smudge of dirt right there. Well, you know what? I can say, wow, man, look, I got a dirt right there. I need to go take care of that because the mirror showed me. Let's suppose I take off to take care of it, but all of a sudden the phone rings in the office. So I stop, pick it up, and there's a problem, and I got to take care of it. And the next thing you know, I start heading towards to take care of the problem again. Somebody says, Pastor, hey, I need you right now. Could you help me with something? And next thing you know, folks, I forgot all about what I saw. I could be walking around all day with this smudge on my face. Now, I saw it, and I knew it was there, but I just got so busy, I didn't take care of it. Now, the honest truth is, a lot of times we sit in church and the Word of God becomes that big mirror. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you look into the Bible, it will show you where you are lacking. It'll show you things you need to fix. And sometimes we sit in a service and we hear that and we say, God, that's right, the Bible's right, and this area of my life does need to be corrected. I either need to stop doing this that I'm doing or I need to start doing this that I'm not doing. But the thing is, we walk outside and life takes over. Did you hear me? Life takes over. And the next thing you know, we had all good intent to change in that area, but we just get caught up in life, and next thing you know, a week or two's gone by, and we haven't given another thought to what the Lord showed us from the Scriptures. By the way, Jesus taught the danger of this when he taught on the parable of the sower. I won't have you turn there, but in Mark chapter 3, remember the sower and the four kinds of soil that the seeds fall on? Hearken, behold, Jesus said in Mark 4, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now when Jesus gives the interpretation of that later on in the chapter, he says this, the sower soweth the word. Say, what you doing, preacher? I'm sowing the Bible. I'm planting the Bible. I'm sowing the Bible. Now watch this, what it says. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. He likens the word of God being preached, landing on your heart. And if you don't do something about it right away, and if you hesitate, if you don't have a plan and do some solid things to make sure that it makes a difference in your life, you'll go out that door and it's like the ravens of hell sweep down, snatch the seed, Satan's waiting right outside that door. Anything you heard and anything you were going to change, he wants to get your mind on something else. He wants to get you busy with this world. He wants this problem. He wants the cell phone to start ringing before you can get to the car. And next thing you know, your mind has gone on to the things of this world. Listen to me, folks. That's a danger. That's one of the ways we can become a hearer only. Let me just give you in that under this one point some very practical advice so that you do not allow Satan to snatch what God wants to you to do with the sermons that you hear here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. First of all, listen, preaching time ought to be, in your mind as a Christian, the most important thing that happens at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's not because of me. It's not because of who I am. It's not because Jerry Ross is anything. It's because the Word of God is being preached. And so, it's more important than the singing. It's more important than the fellowship. Now, these things are important, but the Word of God's premier. It's more important than it all. It's more important than before church, after church. It's more important than any announcement or any meeting that's planned. It's more important than any projects going on. When the Word of God is preached, the seed's being sown. And so, we need to train ourselves and train our family. Hey, when it's preaching time, it's listening time. When it's preaching time, it's staying awake time. When it's preaching time, it's let's open our heart time. Hey, listen, what a good habit you can get into is every preacher does about the same thing. I had you this morning. Stand up, find the scripture. We read it together. I bow my head and pray. Here's something I wish I could train every Christian to do. When the preacher prays before he begins to start preaching, as I am praying, would you train yourself to pray also? Will you say at that moment during that prayer time, dear God, say something like this, dear God, I don't think I'm here by accident. That preacher has studied. He studied from the scriptures. He's got the message you want him to bring. Now, God, there's something and maybe many somethings in there for me. God, don't let me miss it. And Lord, don't let me just hear it. Help me to change, dear God. Whatever your Holy Spirit wants to do in my life, I want him to do it. God, I'm open-hearted. Please help me to learn today. You go into a sermon with that kind of an open heart, and let me tell you something. The seed's going to find the right kind of a ground, and it's going to take root. And it's going to keep the devil from snatching everything away. Now, I don't expect anybody, and I don't ask anybody to do this. As a matter of fact, young people, the honest truth, I don't want you writing the whole time during a sermon. But I always keep either a card or a piece of paper in my Bible, because if God speaks to me about something in a message that I know that I need to change or do, or lay somebody on my heart that I need to go see, or some wrong that I've committed that I need to make right, I know Jerry Ross. I know that I'm human. I know I can be a forgetful hearer, so I'll almost always open the front of my Bible and write down a couple things that God wants me to do as a result of that message. Now, folks, listen, Monday morning's going to come. What are you going to do? You take that thing out and you take a look at it and you say, you know what? What God spoke to my heart on Sunday about, I want to make sure I take care of and do or change or begin immediately so that I'm not a hearer but a doer. Let me also encourage you this. I believe that that's one of the reasons Christians from time to time, as the Holy Spirit directs, you ought to use an altar. There's just something about coming forward when God's spoken to in your heart about doing something specifically and nailing it down, making a commitment to God, praying and saying, Lord, you dealt with this area of my life. You've asked me to do this. You spoke to my heart. God, I want to do it. I commit to do it. I want you to help me do it and just nail that thing down. I'm not saying people, I need to come to the altar every time I preach. I'm saying do it every time the Holy Spirit tells you to do it. Have you got that? Now, what I'm saying is this, folks. I'm giving you some practical advice. We're human. We have the problem of forgetfulness. We can become a forgetful hearer. We can sit in a service, be convicted, make a decision we're going to change, and you know what? As crazy as life is, we can forget all about it 2 miles down the road if we're not careful. There's another danger if you become a hearer only and not a doer. There's another danger, the danger of missed blessings. The danger of missed blessings. Look in verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and here's the key. This is the wonderful phrase, I think. And continueth therein. Not just hear the Bible or see what the Bible says, but decide to continue therein. That means to abide, to make it permanent in your life. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, listen to me, folks, and I want you to get this. Don't misunderstand me. Hearers only learn, if we're not, let me start over. Let me give you this. Most of the blessings of the Christian life do not come from hearing the Bible preached, but by obeying what the Bible says. Let me say it again. Most of the blessings of the Christian life do not come from hearing the Bible preached, but by obeying what the Bible says. Now, every once in a while, I'll have somebody say, "Preacher, boy, that message this morning, that was a blessing to me." And I sometimes want to say, "Well, we'll see if it is." And I understand what you're saying. Man, I've been blessed during a message where just God got on my heart. And man, it was just what I needed that day. But the honest truth is, the blessing, the real blessing, is not found in the hearing of it only. Notice this, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So when you go to church and the Lord speaks to your heart about something you need to do for him, that's great that you are blessed, and it's great that God spoke to you. But you know where the real blessing's waiting? The real blessing's waiting if you'll go out there and do what he said to do. You'll be blessed in the deed. I preached this week at Cedar River Baptist Camp up in Letts, Iowa. Preached a teen week. About 195 teenagers. Preached 8 times in 5 days. Preached, I mean, literally, we were in an old-fashioned open pavilion, hot as all get out. Every single day I preached. That's why my voice is a little bit harsh. I apologize for it tonight, this morning. But every time I get done preaching, I literally soaked all the way down and I preached my heart out 8 times to the teenagers there. Now, every time I would get done preaching, I would leave the auditorium, turn the invitation over to the gentleman after I got it started, leave the auditorium. I would head back to my room, because if you don't, I had to change clothes, because if I stood around in those wet clothes, I'd lose my voice. So on the way, there was a sweet black lady, a sweet colored lady that was there in the camp, and she was helping in the kitchen all week. Well, she'd always rush over about preaching time and sit back there and listen to the preaching. And then as I would head off, as soon as the invitation starts, she'd head back, because she was supposed to get back over the kitchen and help out. Well, as I would head to my cabin, she'd always be outside the kitchen door on the phone with her husband. Every single service, she's there. Every time I would walk by her, she'd say, hold on. She'd say, "Preacher Jerry, and she'd always say the same thing, "That was the most beautiful sermon I have ever heard. I'm on the phone with my husband, and I'm not preaching as good as you is, but I'm trying to tell him everything you said." Then she'd get back on the phone. I'd say, "God bless you, God bless you." You know, next day, "Preacher Jerry, that was the most beautiful sermon I has ever heard. I'm on the phone with my husband, and I'm not preaching as good as you did, but I'm trying to tell him everything you said." You know, she did that every day, every single day. So I know that we can be blessed just by hearing a sermon. But the honest truth is, the blessings are pretty short-lived if all you do is hear. You know, folks, if you want the blessings of God upon your life, listen, you can be blessed by hearing a sermon on soul winning, but you'll get super blessed if you decide to go soul winning. You can be blessed by hearing a sermon on giving, but you'll be super blessed if you learn to obey and give tithes and offerings. You can be blessed by a sermon on prayer, but you'll be more blessed if you get on your knees and begin to pray. Are you getting this? You can be blessed by a sermon on separation and holy living, but you'll be more blessed if you actually put it into practice. You can be blessed by a sermon about Jesus Christ. And thank God for the exciting sermons that I've heard that's pointed men to Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. If you don't take what you learned from that sermon and decide to go out this week and live like Jesus Christ, then you wasted the effort put behind that sermon. At the judgment seat of Christ, don't forget this, folks, at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll not be rewarded for how many times you heard the Bible preached. Don't miss that. You're going to be rewarded by how much of what you heard you actually lived out. Notice what Jesus said 3 times in the parable of the talents. He said to those that did well, did right, 2 times I should say, in that parable of the talent. What did he say to those that took what God had given them and actually went out and done something with it? He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't say, "Well heard. You took good notes. You shouted amen. You went to an altar." I mean, all those things are great. I'm not diminishing those things at all. I'm just saying, folks, listen, I don't care how high you jump and how loud you shout during the sermon, but when you land, you ought to walk a little differently than you did before you heard that sermon. You ought to let those truths have an effect in your life. And so the whole key is, and the whole danger of an almost, and there's no such thing, but sometimes I worry about almost an overexposure, is that we just are creatures of habit. We get hearing the same thing. Let me give you, for instance, our young people, every single morning in our Christian school, one of the first things we do is we get have them come to their feet, and we have them say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And they do it every day. You know what the problem with that is? They do it every day. What's great about it? They do it every day. What's dangerous about it? They do it every day. So we shouldn't do it every day? No, we should do it every day. But the honest truth is, folks, anything we as humans do on a regular basis, it just becomes a habit. It just becomes vain. It just becomes empty. It's just, I mean, we might as well be counting rosary beads and saying Hail Marys because there's no thought beyond it. It's just another memorized whatever. Wait a minute. From time to time, I'll walk out into our school during open assembly, and I'll say, I'm going to do something this morning. I'm going to lead the Pledge of Allegiance. And young people, listen to me. I just want all of you. I'm not saying you're not. I just want all of you today. I want you to slow down. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about everything that you say. We live in a great country. And you know what, folks? The honest truth is, as Bible believers and church attenders, we show up here, those of you that are faithful, for Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we hear a lot of preaching. If we're not careful, we're just creatures of habit. We come. I'm not even saying we're not listening. We listen. But you know what? We're just putting our time in. Wait a minute. That's not what this is about. What this is about is us hearing the very words of Almighty God from that Holy Bible. And if God speaks to our heart, for it allowing those words to change the way we think and change the way we talk and change the way we look and change the way we walk and change our priorities so that it matches those of the Scripture, we shouldn't as Christians be wandering around letting the culture decide what is important or what's not important. We ought to let the Word of God decide what's important and what's not important. And so letting the Bible change you. The danger of missed blessings. If you hear and are convicted by the Scriptures, and you know that you ought to do something, but you fail to do it, you miss the blessings that would have come from living that out. Let me give you one more quick one. The danger of vain religion. In verse number 26, if any man among you, isn't it interesting that this portion of Scripture follows what we just were reading and studying? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Right away, we see another result. If we get into the, I'm a hearer, but you know what? I don't do what's said. I listen, but I don't do what's said. You know what? Hearers only learn, watch this, boy, get this. Hearers only learn how to build the facade of appearing religious. This is what I worry about our second, third generation Christians. Hearers only, you know what they do? They acquire a lot of head knowledge. But Paul wrote to the carnal Corinth church and said, knowledge puffeth up. There's a lot of second, third generation Christians who do not know how to bridle their tongue. They see themselves as authorities on everything that is wrong in the church, everything that should be done differently. But a close examination of their life reveals that they do not live out the Word of God. They've heard it, but they don't do it. They don't actually do much of anything for God. The Bible warns us that they have deceived their own hearts. Their religion is vain. It's empty. That's what the verse says here. Listen, there's one thing to walk around wanting to act like a good Christian, but you know what? You can pick out the ones that are hearers and not doers only just by listening to them. Just by listening to what they talk about. Just listen. You know, folks, a bunch of really, 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 just ask them if you don't believe it, really good Christians in this community don't do much of anything, actually, when it boils down, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're real good at criticizing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They're real good at criticizing people that are running bus routes. They're real good at criticizing those that go soul winning. I know they never go, but they're authorities. See, they were raised in church. They know all the answers. But they don't do anything. They don't do anything. Can I help you with something? God's not called anyone in this church into full-time Christian gossip. I've never read that card yet. He has not called anyone in this church to be a missionary of criticism or an evangelist of discord. It's amazing that you can see everything that needs to be changed in everything around here, but you can't see what needs to be changed in your life. Face it, you become a hearer only. This has made you a self-deceiver. You've deceived yourself, a forgetful hearer. You come and you look and you critique and you listen with no intention of letting anything that's said change your life. You're a blessingless pew bump. There's no blessings of God on your life. You know why? Because you hear, but you never do. And the blessing's in the deed. And because of that, if you're not careful, you're on your way to becoming a critical hypocrite. Did you see what James told him? By the way, this is hilarious. You know what some of you second, third generation Christians need to do? You need to hush your mouth and get on a bus route. You need to hush your mouth and get active in one of our nursing home ministries. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. By the way, you need to get away from your worldliness. You need to stop your compromise. You need to kick in on your separation. Okay, I'm talking to just a handful of you. Look right up here. I'm the preacher. You need help. You need help. You're an expert on everything, but your life is a mockery before Jesus Christ. You're not unspotted from the world. You reek of worldliness. When's the last time you actually thought about somebody from your, except yourself? When's the last time you actually invested in one of these little children's lives around here? When's the last time you show up at one of these 7 different nursing homes that we have people in this church on a monthly basis ministering to and die to self for an hour and go around room to room and minister to widows and widowers? Are you getting this? If we are not careful, this church is in an interesting time in its development. And I'm going to tell you something. It's my job to know the state of my flock. It's my job to keep my finger on the pulse of this ministry. And I'm telling you, we need some second, third generation Christians to stop showing up and critiquing everything and start showing up and listening and letting God work in your life and get the sin out of your life, get separated unto holiness, get busy serving God. Stop being a hearer, be a doer also. Because if not, there is a great danger of you going down a wrong road. Are you here today and you know how to be saved? Preacher, I've heard it all my life. Well, good, you're a hearer. Have you done it? Have you gotten saved? Knocked on the door just this week, talked to a man for just a few minutes. I didn't know, get no farther than to say, listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen, I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to hell? He said, wait, I grew up in church. I heard that my whole life. I know all the answers. I said, all right, you've heard it your whole life. Exactly what I said to him. I said, you heard it your whole life. But you know what? When you stand before God one of these days and you look at God, he's not going to ask you whether or not you heard it or whether or not you know it. He's going to ask you whether you got saved or not. That's what I said to him standing right at his door. A lot of people raised in church, they've hear it, they've heard it, they know all the answers, they know all the cliches, they can tell you all about it. The honest truth is they're lost. They're lost. I worry. I'm done, but I worry. I worry about young people that were raised right up in this ministry. And you know what? From a little child, you learn the Bible and you know the answers and you know what was expected, you know what to say. But you've never, honestly, I mean, you ought to look back. Remember that thing you're pointing back at and telling everybody when you got saved? Was there Holy Spirit conviction on your life over your lost condition? Holy Spirit conviction over your lost sin? Was there the drawing of the Father? Because Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Father draw him. What did you do? Did you just follow some other kids up in front of EBS or Children's Church and, hey, they're going, I might as well too, and say this little prayer and I don't have to. Wait a minute. Was there Holy Spirit conviction in your life? Has there been a genuine new birth going on in your life? Has there been a transformation happening in your life? I worry about that. I'm not trying to talk you into being lost or saved. I'm just saying this. You know what? A true and biblical conversion will stand up to a biblical examination and a Holy Spirit examination. This kind of preaching, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know what? You're one of my, it's the Spirit. The Bible says, beareth witness our spirit that we're the children of God. The Holy Spirit of God will say to you, you know what? Yes, you're saved. The Word of God will prove it out. Yes, I'm saved. But I worry sometimes. I worry. Have you just heard about salvation all this time, but you've never really experienced it? Like Nicodemus of old, have you become religious, but you're lost? Something that you need to look at. Be careful that you're not just a hearer, but you're a doer of what you heard. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, take this sermon, Lord, this admonition, and Lord, may we not just hear it, may we do it. God, please. We are in desperate need of Christians that are not just knowledgeable about the Bible, but their life, Lord, their life reflects that knowledge. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring sinners under conviction. If there's someone here without Christ as their Savior, I remember what it's like to walk into a church lost. I know what it's like to hear a salvation sermon and feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, know that I need to be saved, know that I was lost, maybe not even knowing what to do, but knowing that much. Thank God someone took one day the Bible and showed me the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again. Showed me that I could trust in Christ for eternal life. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, I'd like to see them saved today. I'd like to see them saved. If there's a Christian that's just fallen in the habit of coming and putting in their time and listening, and receiving even some measure of blessing from the hearing, but they have not had the heart's desire to take what they've heard and to live it out every day of their life, I pray, Lord, the community needs to see Christians that have been changed by the Bible. They need to see Christians that aren't just Sunday Christians or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday Christians. They need to see that so that they can be dealt with about their lost condition. Lord, bless the sermon this morning. Lord, bless the invitation. Now, our heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around for just a minute. I want to ask you a quick question. If you were to die right now, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? As you look back on the timeline of your life, can you find that place in time where you heard the gospel, you came under conviction of your lost condition, and you felt God drawing your heart? You knew that God wanted you to be saved. You felt something supernatural and divine happening inside of you, and because of that, you responded to the preaching, you responded to the Sunday school lesson, you responded to the Word of God as it was given. Somebody took the Bible, showed you plainly how to be saved. And did you, by faith, call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your Savior? If you did those things happened to you, then you are born again. And as a Christian, you need to pay close attention to the Bible so you can grow in grace. If that has not happened to you, you need to be saved. Preacher, if I died right now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what would happen to me. I couldn't say with any assurance what would happen. I fear what might happen. But I know God is dealing with my heart this morning. God is working in my heart this morning. He's convicting me. I want to pray for you. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you in any way. That's not what this is about. It's about a preacher that wants to pray for you. Preacher, I'm under conviction. I honestly don't know for sure if I'm saved. But I'd like you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up just real quick? Slip it up and put it back down so I can pray for you. Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. If I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. Would you pray for me, preacher? Just slip your hand up real quick. I see your hand. God bless you, buddy. I got it there. God bless you. Somebody else. Preacher, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know that right now. I'd like to know for sure. I'd like to get this thing settled. God's working in my heart. Anyone else? In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. Not yet, but in just a minute, I'll have everybody stand, and then we'll begin to have the piano player play. And as soon as the piano player begins to play, if you raised your hand, would you step right up here? We got two men waiting up here. They'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, Lord, to really get what James was given to give to us. Lord, help us to examine our hearts, examine our lives. Make us tender to the Word of God, Lord. Help us to be responsive to what the Bible says. Help the great truths and principles of the Scriptures. May they challenge us in our life. And not just challenge us, Lord, may we go out with a renewed determination to live out what we hear preached from the pulpit. Lord, and I pray, dear God, even this morning for this one. I only saw one hand. There may have been others, Lord. And maybe someone here that's not saved and they were a little fearful about raising their hand. Work in their lives, God. Bring conviction upon their hearts. May they respond during this invitation and come and be saved, we pray in Jesus' name.